And thank you for inviting me to fill the pulpit for you this morning. I've got great news. I already preached this once today, and I highlighted all the bugs to work out. This may be the most spectacular message I've ever preached in my entire life, although I kind of doubt it. Okay, I was passed some notes about JD's arrangements. The visitation will be at Barnett's from 6 to 8 on Tuesday. Funeral services here at Whitfield Baptist Church on Wednesday at 11 a.m. And then the burial will be in Princeton, West Virginia at 3 o'clock p.m. So let's begin by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. And my Bible translation is the New Living Translation. And I'm going to read that through, and then I'm going to apologize for the sermon title, because it's completely wrong. So we stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we see him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are now Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God. And the reason I want to apologize, the message is about being an ambassador. But as I thought about this over the weekend, I kind of am giving you a wrong idea when I say how to be an ambassador worthy of the name of Jesus Christ. Because you can't. You cannot be so smart and so talented and so good looking and so enormous in prestige that somehow you're worthy to carry the name of the King of the universe. And so I just want to talk to you this morning about how to be an ambassador. Because what qualifies you to do that is none of those things I listed. Because, all right, can we be honest? Some of us are not as smart as the next person in the room. Some of us are not as pretty as the next person, or as prestigious, or as talented. And some of you might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm none of those. I'm just like normal. Well, the great thing about being an ambassador for Jesus is that you qualify simply because you're in a relationship with him. Think about it. If you wanted to send an ambassador out to a foreign country, would you, and to represent you and to represent your thoughts, to be your emissary, to give your opinion for things, would you get the most talented, the prettiest, the most prestigious, the most fantastic person in the community, or would you get your best friend? You get your best friend, absolutely. Because you know your friend is not going to let you down. The problem with being so smart is that sometimes we can outthink God and set his word aside and substitute our own opinions, see? The problem with being as pretty as I am is that people will just look on the outside and not look at the real me on the inside. So I want an ambassador that I know, that I trust, that knows me really, really well. And it's the same with God. He wants somebody that will represent him. If you know him, if he is your Savior, if you count Jesus Christ as your friend and he counts you as his friend, you're qualified as an ambassador. And not only that, you're already on assignment. So I want to give you a flavor this morning of some things that might improve your ability to serve him well. Isn't that what you really want in life when you get right down to it? We've always heard that kind of saying, we want to hear over the graveside or something, he served his Lord well. Or when we go to heaven's gates, enter your reward, good and faithful servant. We want to serve God well. So let me give you some hints and some ideas from God's Word on how to do that. If you look back at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, there is a key thought there you may completely overlook. If you don't catch this thought, you disqualify yourself as an ambassador. And this is what he says in verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. What an ambassador must do is to set aside his own opinions, his own judgments, and instead look at people with the king's eye, with the king's eye. So if I'm an ambassador for a king, I don't go to that foreign country and assert my opinion. I'm there in the king's place. I assert his opinion. I'm really clumsy. I may be. Those of you that know me, I'm subject to getting carried away. Someone holler if I get too close up here, because I may just dump over. Let me put it this way. I'm kind of lousy at this non-judging thing because I'm a Florida Gator fan. And I assume that those of you that are not Florida Gator fans are simply unenlightened. Because if you knew what I know about being a Florida Gator, you would be a Florida Gator fan too. And some of y'all are Tennessee fans, and already the hair I can see on the back of your neck is starting to stand up. So if I'm going to be an ambassador in Nashville, Tennessee, what should I do with my devotion to the Florida Gators? Set it aside. Because an ambassador's opinion doesn't count. Only the opinion of the king who sent him counts. And so if you are to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you must do what this verse says. Stop evaluating others from a human point of view, which I'm going to tell you is really hard. Because don't you like, when you meet people, don't you like get a feel for them pretty quick? Don't you sort of like how they're dressed or how they look, or maybe in the first 30 seconds of a conversation, aren't you already in your mind checking off some boxes in your head? I do. I guess it's a normal human reaction. Until I remind myself, Alan, you're on duty. What are you doing? You're an ambassador. You're not standing here as just Joe Blow in the Walmart checkout line. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and here you are evaluating that person from your own opinion, from your own standpoint. Now, here's a way to fix it. If you just decide not to judge others at all, you will be well on the way of understanding what an ambassador's role is. Think of Jesus on the cross. He's hanging there, and there's a big, burly guy, probably doesn't smell too good. He's sitting there, and he's got a hammer in his hand that he had just used to nail Jesus up on that cross. And this guy is saying to his buddies, "Well, I really nailed him in good, didn't I? I really put him on there tight. He's not getting off." And if I was Jesus, evaluating that big, burly guy as just from a human perspective, I'd hate him. He just nailed me to a cross. You're evil. You're awful. You're horrible. And yet Jesus looked to his heavenly Father and looked around and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I want that kind of attitude, that king's eye, as I attempt to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Because when I insert my opinion about other people, I'm bound to miss it. Because my opinion is horribly flawed. Prime exhibit number one, I'm a Florida Gator fan. Who in their right mind would root for the Florida Gators, right? And so if we're to be ambassadors for Jesus, we must set aside our own opinions, our own point of view, for the point of view of our King. It's admittedly hard to do, but it is a requirement to be an ambassador. The next thing I think is really important is to do what's labeled in verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Up on top of my hill behind the house there, out in the sunshine, I've got a beautiful row of thornless blackberries. And I'm telling you, they're glorious. I started these blackberries years ago when I first pastored out on the eastern shore of Virginia. The pastor there had loved blackberries. He had gotten this variety, big, juicy, not a thorn in sight. You can go like this all over, and you don't have to worry about a thing. They are outstanding blackberries. But here's something about blackberries. Last year's vines that produced the fruit do not produce fruit this year. Only the new growth produces fruit. Here's something that an ambassador has to do. That Bible verse said that we're new creatures in Christ. An ambassador is going to look for the new, the growth, the emergent, the possibility, what might happen instead of looking back at the old. I could go up on my hill just today, and I can look at those vines from last year, and I've got some old dead-looking canes that I could look at those canes and say, well, y'all aren't going to produce a thing. And I could focus on that. They're not supposed to produce. That's the old. That's the dead. That's the has-been. And you and I, as ambassadors to Jesus Christ, you know what? We get to choose. As an ambassador, am I going to focus on the negative, the old? Am I going to focus on what has been? Or am I going to focus on what is new, what is potential, where the growth is? It'd be easy to go up on that hill and focus on those old dead canes and not notice the fresh leaves coming out. Not notice that there's a little blackberry in that leaf just going, I'm almost there, just wait, I'm coming. And as we go through life, as our family goes through hurts and struggles, man, the old, the history, the pain can garner all the attention. But an ambassador can't fall into that trap. An ambassador must look at the new, the fresh, the emerging. Look at people from Christ's point of view if you want to be an ambassador. Look for the new that you see. And then look for people who need God. An ambassador is going to look for people to win over to the King's way of thinking, right? So let's say I'm an ambassador to Japan. Do you know who the ambassador to Japan is? Anybody know? Caroline Kennedy. And you think, oh, she just got that job because of her last name. She's a Kennedy. Yes, right. Because of who she knew. That's why she's an ambassador. Because of who you know is why you're an ambassador for Christ. You know Christ. You see how that works? Let's say you go over to Japan and you're an ambassador over there. As you mingle and as you go about your daily tasks, you're going to meet some Japanese, right? You're in Japan. And Caroline Kennedy, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, well, I don't know if she's an ambassador for Jesus. You could be both. As an ambassador for the United States, is going to try to influence others and encourage them to have a more favorable view of the United States of America. And it's your job as an ambassador for Christ is to look for people who need to have a more favorable interaction, a more favorable relationship. Look for people who need God. And you don't have to go very far. You'd probably agree with me. Some of you wouldn't have to look beyond the four rooms of your home, beyond the office suite that you work in, beyond the checkout line at Food Lion. Because there are people all around us that need God. There's a really cool website called needhim.com. needhim.org, needhim.org. And some of you guys are really lousy witnesses for Christ because you're so either withdrawn or you're nervous or you're shy or you're like, I just don't want to talk about that. And it might be that you're the kind of person, especially if you're kind of geeky like me, that you could say to a friend, man, I saw this new website, needhim.org. I think you'd like it. You scribble it down on a piece of paper and hand it to them. Because at that website, there's all kind of resources and materials available to help someone who needs Jesus meet him. And the cool thing is, next time you see him, did you get a chance to visit that website? What did you think? What did you think? 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God gave us this task of reconciling people to himself, bringing people to God. That's what an ambassador's job is to do, is to encourage people to embrace the ideas and the program, the pattern, the characteristics of their king. And as ambassadors for Jesus, we're supposed to do that. Now, I took a year of accounting with Colleen Kilgore. Some of y'all know Colleen. She's a really good accounting teacher. And she's the kind of teacher that insists that you do it right. She insists that you do it right. And so I looked at this verse, and I noticed in verse 19, there is a huge accounting error in this verse. And I would almost go as far as to say that God is a lousy accountant until I realize what's going on. Verse 19 says, "For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself." And here's the accounting problem. It says here that God no longer counted people's sins against them. You can't do that in accounting. If you've got black marks in your checkbook, you got to count them. Oh, that check was just for $10. That doesn't count. We just won't count that this month. Right? In accounting, it has to balance out. The pluses and the minuses, the credits and the debits and the credits, they have to match up. If they don't, you got a problem. And I look at this verse and I think, oh, now what is God doing? He's not counting the people's sins against them. Ah, but look at the next verse. Verse 21. This is two verses down, actually, 20 and 21. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Here's how it works. God looks at Alan Wilder's life. You don't have to look too far to find a problem or two or three or 30. We're all sinners. God, we all have sin and stain. And if I were to see you fully exposed in all of your sin, I would be shocked. Because some of you hide your sin really, really good. You're clever in the ways that you hide sin. The thing about God, though, is in my life and in yours, he notices all of that. And then I look at that verse and I scratch my head, but he doesn't count that sin against me. What does he do with it? You just can't forget about it. God knows that sin prevents us from having a full and dynamic life, a full life of joy and happiness. You just can't ignore it. Ah, don't worry about that. It'll fix itself. I recently had an electrical problem, and the wire got so hot that it burned out and popped the circuit breaker. Here's what I told Kim. Kim, don't worry about that. That wire will fix itself. You'll just be amazed. And a week later, I went out there, the wire was still broken. I had to go in it. I had to do something. God did something to fix my sin. He allowed his son Jesus to die on the cross So he pulled off this accounting trick, this miraculous, wonderful scheme of forgiveness, and he took my sin. And he said, here, let me take that from your account, and I'm going to place it in Jesus' account. And the next time I sin, here, the debt you owe has been paid by Jesus on the cross. He isn't saying, let's ignore it, let's overlook it, don't worry about it. He's saying it is so important that I had to allow my son to die on the cross. And an ambassador, according to these verses, has that same ministry of reconciliation, bringing people to God and helping them to buy into this accounting deal. That the blood of Jesus is enough to cover our sin. That he already paid the price. In verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, there's a neat little series of words that are used that I think is interesting. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And there's three little words that are used here that has to do with speaking. He says, we appeal to God, we speak, and we plead. And I'm trying to figure out, well, why does he use three words like that? Why doesn't he just use one word? And when you think about what those three words mean, when you appeal to someone, it's like you're advertising. Like, some of you are probably thinking of some people you can invite to Whitfield Baptist for Easter Sunday service. People will attend on Easter Sunday when maybe normally they wouldn't. So you will appeal to them. You'll appeal to them. Why don't you come to church with me two Sundays from now. That's an appeal. Or you might talk with them about Jesus. Have you ever considered that Jesus loves you? That's an appeal. All right, that's kind of a surface level. But then he talks about speaking, and that's more detailed. That's like a conversation. And some people will brush you off on the appeal. You'll invite them to church, and they'll never show up. Sometimes you'll invite them, and they'll come, and they'll receive Christ, and they'll be baptized, and they'll submit their life to serve the Lord in ministry. I mean, amazing things can happen. But sometimes they brush you off. But when they don't, then they're ready for that next step. They want to speak with someone. They want to talk. So you engage in a conversation. And finally, you get to the point in verse 20 where it talks about appealing or pleading with them. Come back to God. And you'll actually say, I just plead with you to give Jesus a chance. Plead with you to receive Jesus as your Savior. And there's a process. You broadcast, you just invite people. Then some people will say, I'm kind of interested. You talk to them, and finally you reel them in. It's like fishing. You do some casting, then you set the hook, and then you have to battle them in. And the cool thing is that all of you live in a unique kingdom. I want to close the service by having you use your imagination. So Wythe County is kind of square. It's rectangular, right? And so I-81 kind of goes this way through Wythe County. Is that right? And then I-77 kind of goes like this kind of through Wythe County. And then it kind of squiggles together around in Whitfield and goes out down this way down to Carroll County, right? So think of that square, right? Who has a smartphone? Anybody have a smartphone? Let me see it. You got one? Just hold it up to me. Yeah, let me see. All right, good. It's off. Awesome. Good. It's not making a noise. On his smartphone, what kind is it? iPhone. Oh, yeah, iPhone. That thing's got GPS built in. He could turn on a little doohickey in that thing. I love doohickeys, don't y'all? That doohickey will start talking to satellites up in space. It's amazing. And them satellites will start talking back and forth and tell that doohickey exactly where it is. And you can go to the iPhone store and get a little app that will track everywhere you go with that iPhone. So whenever you stop, it puts a red pin on a map. You go through the drive-thru McDonald's, you pull up, you stop, the GPS knows you're still, boom, red pin. and will track everywhere you go. If you had that thing going for a month and printed out the map, for him and for each of us, if you had that app, Wythe County would be filled with little clusters of red dots, wouldn't it? Like where you live, where you go to church, where you work, like where you go for your entertainment, where you hang out. Okay, I will probably not have any clusters in Ivanhoe. I don't have any reason to go to Ivanhoe. I don't really know anyone there. And there's probably some people in Ivanhoe who are going, great, because we don't want you down here in the first place, you know? But there are believers who live in Ivanhoe, and Ivanhoe will be solid red to them. Boom, 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 all those dots, all right? Are you imagining that, what Wythe County, what your Wythe County would look like with all your little dots everywhere, right? It'd be pretty cool. That's your kingdom. That is the ambassadorship that you have been appointed to. Not Japan, not Russia, not China. You're like the little Wythe County red dot guy or the red dot girl. And your job is around all those little red dots to represent Jesus Christ. Why is this so important? Because Jesus prayed that you would do that. You know where he prayed it? In the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember this phrase? In the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And do you know how he planned that to happen? By appointing ambassadors. Caroline Kennedy's job is to get as much as the United States into Japan as she can. Your job and my job is to get as much as Jesus into those little red dots, my little kingdom, as much as we can. Does that make sense? Would you bow your heads for prayer with me? Dear God, we want to be the kind of ambassador that flaunts and celebrates our relationship with you. It's not our intelligence, Lord. It's not our talent or good looks. But Lord, it's that we're your child that qualifies us. So Lord, wherever we go this week, whatever place where we settle, that red dot, Lord, help us be an ambassador there. Lord, we want to see your kingdom come here on earth just as it is in heaven. In thy name we pray. Amen.